Hello and welcome to the Neo Gamer podcast. It is Tuesday, October 23rd. This is the 33rd episode of the Neo Gamer podcast. John Callahan talking with you again. With us as always on the line is both Tim and Larry. How are you guys doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How about you, Larry?
I'm doing good, John, and Tim, thanks for asking. How about you guys?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. I was just like I said, just before we started recording, I'm going to New York City in about 12 hours from now. It's going to be a very busy day, busy rest of the week for me because to Wednesday I actually have a meeting with Dell reps. They're going to show me their upcoming Windows 8 desktops and laptops and stuff. And then that night, I'm going to a Samsung Galaxy Note 2 press event, and which should be interesting. I've, you know, get to mess with the even bigger Galaxy Note.
Yeah, I actually have one here, and it's enormous. It really is.
So that'll be fun. And then on Thursday, it's the actual Windows 8 and Surface launch event in New York City. I'll probably get to see both the Surface and a bunch of other Windows 8 stuff. And then they're doing some stuff in Times Square where they can open up the new Microsoft temporary store in Times Square. So that'll be interesting. And I'll be flying back home that early that on Friday morning, so it's going to be very busy, basically a very busy 2 days for me. And you'll be able to watch, read all that on Neowin and more. So, and then next week I'll actually be in Seattle for the Build 2012 conference. So that'll even more stuff flowing out from things. So that'll be
Wow.
I'll be pretty busy. Yeah. So, in terms of games, I actually think that the biggest event we actually saw last week in terms of news was a new BioShock Infinite trailer. How many did you guys get a chance to see the trailer?
Think I watched a bit of it, but yeah, maybe I'll take a look
I
again.
watched it. Yes, I did.
I thought it was pretty darn cool.
Yeah,
I have to
absolutely.
say, I am really stoked now to see this game. I know it's been a long time since we've seen any new footage of the game, and I know that there's been some maybe it's been some issues at Irrational Games in terms of people leaving and things like that. But it looks like at least the final product is going to be pretty cool. It looks like it's going to keep the BioShock, Art Deco style, but in a different historical setting. And of course, it's on a floating freaking city. So, and it looks like it's got a lot of, but it has also it looks like it's going to have this those same kind of, fast action. And it looks like you'll have a AI co-op friend, perhaps. It looks like you have in the trailer. So, and just the overall look of the game looks like no other game that you can recall, except perhaps for the original BioShock. But that's just me. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I guess I'll jump in since I did watch it. Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything you just said. I was actually really psyched to see it. It really does look like just a whole new, unique experience. Like, part of me almost even questions why they're calling it BioShock. I'm sure we'll find that out in, once we get to play it. But yeah, it looks pretty darn amazing, as you said, all around. So just really
Yeah.
psyched about it. I thought the visuals and the art style were just really cool too, so.
I'll have to check it
It
out, I
looks
guess,
cool.
yeah.
Oh, I would definitely check it out. I mean, like I said, it was supposed to be my game of 2012 until they delayed it until February. So, I think it's probably going to be, the game of 2013, or at least one of them. So it'll be interesting. Anyway, did you guys ha by the way, did you guys happen to see both the pre-order game that you can get, and also the two special editions that you can get for BioShock Infinite?
No. What's that about?
Well, there's a pre-order which you can get either at GameStop or you can also get it on Steam. It's actually a game that you can play right now. If you pre-order the game, called BioShock Industrial Revolution, and it's basically a flash game, and it's a puzzle game where you're basically a character in the city of Columbia, and you're solving these puzzles for one. You have to pick for one of the two factions in the game, and it's basically it's just a nice little teaser for the game itself, and you also get to unlock some exclusive in-game items, so you know, a nice little bonus if you want to go ahead and pay for the game ahead of time. And of course, they also have two collector's editions, two retail editions. They haven't announced anything in terms of a downloadable edition for the PC, but in terms of the retail Xbox 360, PS3, and PC things, you can get stuff like an art book. Some kind of a little small figurine, and some more downloadable in-game items and things like that. And if you really want to go all out, you can pay $150 for the big massive edition, which has a big, you know, I think it's like 9.5-inch statue of one of the game's creatures, which looks pretty awesome.
Yeah, just looking at that now, it does look pretty good, but $150, yeah, look, probably won't be getting that.
Yeah, probably won't be getting that, but it's still, if you have that money, so that'll be cool. So it sounds like things are back on track on the BioShock Infinite front, and I'm glad to see that. But again, wish it was still coming out this fall. But it's still good that it's looking like Irrational Games is not going to disappoint in terms of its follow up to BioShock. I think the original BioShock came out in 2007, so it's been 5 years, and I think BioShock Infinite was actually announced in 2010. So it's been 2 years since the announcement of the sequel, and we still haven't gotten it yet.
Wow,
at least they're putting time in.
I was just going to say, he said at least they're putting time in, and I agree. I think this is a case where, you know, the delay is actually going to wind up being a good thing.
Yeah. Oh, I totally agree with that. Microsoft's been busy with their Xbox 360 console. This is probably going to be the last time they really. I suspect this will be the last time they will make a really big push for the console before the new version comes out in 2013, which of course they're not talking about yet at all. But there were some interesting developments. For one thing, they released the new Xbox 360 dashboard, which I haven't yet checked out. Have you checked it out, Tim? Has it made it down your way in Australia yet?
Yeah, I tried turning on my Xbox to discover that my HDMI cable had stopped working. So I actually have to get a new one before I can check it out. But I think it was the big rollout was happening today, which for me is the third. So from memory, that's when they were going to push it out around the world, but I'm not fully sure. But
yeah, well,
it'll be before the Windows 8 launch, it's supposed to roll out.
Yeah, it's not going to be. It sounds like it's not going to be quite the big change as it was with the one that came out in 2011, which basically rearranged their entire dashboard. This looks like it's just going to add some features. Probably the biggest one is the new Internet Explorer web browser, which, you know, Microsoft was like. I remember reading, you know, in 2005 when the Xbox 360 came out, and Microsoft said, "Oh, we don't need a web browser for our Xbox 360." And then, of course, the PS3 and the Wii had their own browsers. So finally, 7 years later, Microsoft figured out that, hey, maybe that we should have a web browser on this internet-connected device we have here. So that's kind of interesting. One little side effect, which is something that one of our writers at Neowin was the first to break, unlike other sites which probably who have tried to co-opt that news, by the way. We were the first to announce that Microsoft has removed both their Facebook and Twitter apps from the Xbox 360 marketplace. If you have them still, you can still use them, as I understand it, but you just can't download them anymore if you have yet to download them. And Microsoft said the reason is because we now have the Internet Explorer browser, so people can access their Twitter and Facebook accounts with the browser. I'm not so sure I like that plan. I don't know. I think
Did anyone use the Facebook and Twitter apps? I mean,
probably not. I don't know.
Most people have a phone that they can just whip out while they're gaming, whereas with the actual Facebook and Twitter apps, you needed to shut down the game that you're playing to post a status update, and I don't think that appealed to people at all, having to stop their gaming when they could just pull out their phone. So yeah. I don't think those apps will be missed at all.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, if you know, the only reason people would really want to do that on their 360 would be during a game or whatever. I don't think, maybe there was one out of 100,000 people that were firing up their Xbox 360 to actually open Facebook or Twitter. You know what I mean? Just like you said, everyone else was either already using their laptops or their phones or whatever other case it may be. So, yeah, I mean, they came out and said that they were actually pulling it because no one used it. So, you know, it makes sense. And I actually checked it out once. I remember checking out Facebook once, and it wasn't even that intuitive, too. So that was a big reason why I think they might have gotten rid of it.
Yeah, that's probably true. So, and of course, they have some other additions to the dashboard. Of course, the new rebranded Xbox Music service is now live. Basically, it's the same as the Zoom Music service. And today, there were actually a couple of interesting Xbox 360 announcements. First, they kind of gave more information about Xbox Smart Glass, which will launch alongside Windows 8 tablets and PCs on Friday and coming to other devices later. Basically, they kind of confirm things like there'll be some extra apps to play things like Dance Central 3 and Halo 4 and a bunch of other stuff. There'll be, movies and TV shows will have extra content that if you watch it on the Xbox 360, you can play it on you can switch over and play it on your Windows 8 tablet and vice versa. And, there's sports apps which give you more information about things like the NBA and other pro sports things like. And, sounds like it's just, this is, it takes me back to what Nintendo kind of announced with the Wii U and its Wii TV stuff using their touchpad gamepad as their TV remote control. You know, Microsoft is basically saying you don't need to have a dedicated game console. You can get your own tablet, a Windows 8 tablet or other tablet. They're supposed to come out for Android, iOS as well at some point. But you could just get the tablet you probably already own and just use it for the Xbox 360. So, yeah. Which do you think will be more popular? Do you think that Microsoft with its, bring your own device deal, or will it be Nintendo with the gamepad, dedicated gamepad thing?
I think most people have a tablet, so that keeps down the price of the overall system, and I think that'll appeal to people. Another thing that surprised me was you can control Internet Explorer using Smart Glass on your tablet.
Yes, you can. Yeah.
But I was just wondering, why would you do that when you could just use the internet browser on your tablet and not have to stop your gaming? I mean,
you could do things like watch big YouTube videos on the big 42-inch or screen or whatever, how big your screen in your living room is.
Yeah, I guess that is a point, but
things like that. I mean, bigger is better.
Yeah.
If you're having a party and you see a cool, YouTube video, there's no need to trade around your tablet. You can just say, "Hey, let's put it on the big screen." I can just punch it up like that, something like that.
I guess that's a fair point, but yeah, I mean, I have an Android tablet, so whenever they push Smart Glass to that, then I'll check it out. Also, probably should be getting a Surface soon, so
I'll see
what Smart Glass is like. But I mean, I don't really see myself wanting to use the features, especially the in-game features. Sure, some of them are cool, but I don't really want to have to carry my lap. I mean, my tablet around, put it on my lap, and I just think it'd be a bit inconvenient. And I just want
Well,
to, you know, especially when you want to focus just on the game experience.
it's true, and I mean, I don't think that's what Microsoft is necessarily pushing that heavily. I mean, there'll certainly be some gaming aspects to this to Xbox marketplace, but I really think this is going to be more of a multimedia thing. They're making a big deal about the fact that, you know, there are studies that show that people, when they watch major sports events, pro sports events on television, they also have a tablet on a tablet or a notebook on them, so they can watch, they can keep up with scores and, you know, chat with their friends and things like that while they're watching the big game. And they were making a big deal about the fact that the Xbox Smart Glass will work with that kind of content. So.
Yeah, but I get that whole, you know, train of thought, but my argument would be their hands are free while they're watching those sports events. You know what I mean? Like, chances are if you're on the Xbox, I mean, I know it does other things, but for the most part, people are gaming on it. So I kind of side with Tim here. Like, if I'm gaming, I don't want to have another device that also needs my hand somewhere near me that I have to go back and
Yeah,
forth, you know? It just seems a little.
I don't think that the gaming stuff is going to be very popular with the stuff, but I can definitely see the other kind, the watching the movies, watching the sports events, things like that. Even, you know, interacting with the with IE on the with the Xbox 360 would be thing. But yeah, in terms of the gaming stuff, yeah, I'm probably not going to use it for gaming. I'll just be concentrating on the controller and things like that. So. And that's kind of like what we were talking about with the Wii U, you know, with what, having to watch two screens at the same time while playing a game. You know, I made the point in the fact that are people really going to be doing that? I'm not so sure.
Yeah.
But we'll see that. And of course, the other big announcement, and the one that, you know, this is something that Microsoft has experiment with earlier this year, but now is apparently going full out on, is that the subsidized Xbox 360 console, subsidized as if it were a smartphone. And in essence, you can buy an Xbox for just $99, but you also have to pay $14.99 a month for the Xbox Live Gold service for 24 months. And you'll be able to do that for $99 with either an Xbox 4 gigabyte with the Kinect or a 250 gigabyte Xbox 360 without the Kinect, and you can also pay $149 for the 250 gigabyte with the Kinect. So, and this is going to expand to several other retailers in the United States. And I think I read today on the Wall Street Journal actually that Microsoft is looking to launch this kind of system internationally. So you may be looking at this kind of system, Tim, before too long. And they actually said that they're considering perhaps doing it for future hardware, which means that when the next Xbox console comes out, you know, maybe next year, they may offer this kind of business plan for that as well. So what do you guys think about that?
I think we covered this on a previous podcast, but didn't we figure out that it costs actually a lot more to go
Oh,
with
it
the
does cost a
subscription
lot more.
model? Yeah, it costs a lot more than just to go out and
Oh, yeah.
get an Xbox 360 and then purchase the Live. So if anyone in this store is actually doing their job properly and telling people about the best deal, no one should be getting this deal at all. So.
I totally agree with that. And 100%. There may be some people who really want a console that just don't have the upfront money to pay that much money to
Well,
get the
yeah.
console.
The only
So.
people that are going to be getting it are the people that shouldn't be getting it.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Over the 2 year period, you will pay more for the Xbox 360 with Xbox Live Gold than you were if you just paid upfront slightly more money for the console and then paid for 2 years of Xbox Live Gold through, I guess, a card or something. So, but it's apparently worked. I mean, they Microsoft launched this as a pilot program in their Microsoft stores in May, and they apparently got enough people to sign up for it. They decided, let's just expand it to everywhere in the U.S. So, I don't know. It works for the smartphone industry. That's for certainly. That's for sure. You know, what did you guys pay for your smartphone? I paid $99 with a two-year contract. You know.
Yeah, I mean, I paid five. I always buy my phones outright, but and yeah, I get, and also a lot of our phones here I go for $0. So.
Yeah, well, that's true. So that's so again a lot of Xbox news, and we'll probably and we may get some more Xbox news at the Windows 8 and Surface launch events next week. Although, you know, are they what I just wonder, what are they going to reveal that we haven't seen before? That's my thing when I'm going to this event in New York City, because it seems like they've already kind of showed everything. Do they have something up their sleeve that we don't know about yet?
I doubt it. I think that once they've come out with this dashboard update and they push out Smart Glass and Windows 8, their tablets and Office, they will go fully into making the next Xbox, and hopefully we'll see it at E3. But as we've already,
I hope so.
They haven't said anything about it, like literally nothing. They won't talk to any people in the press about the next Xbox.
Oh, I know. They won't. They won't do it.
This is probably one of those things, like with the Surface, that they're developing it in a really tight and very secure team. And yeah, we won't see any details at all until they make their full reveal, where they show off as much as they can, like with the Surface.
Yeah, I agree. Kind of interesting thing that came out today, this week actually today, the new Medal of Honor Warfighter first person shooter from EA came out. Usually we see advanced reviews of major games like this come out from the media, but not this time. And the reason is that apparently the development team was still working on a day one patch to release. On the day that it came out, for all three platforms, by the way, not just for the PC, for the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3 as well. And I saw the change log for the patch. It's massive. I mean, it was huge. Holy crap! So that's why we're not seeing any reviews for this game. And I just think, I mean, I don't mind day one patches per se. I think there's always going to be patches for games. Although I don't know why there should be patches for games for consoles, but that's another thing altogether. But
yeah.
But so day one patches, no, I don't mind. But I think it's pretty clear that EA was rushing this game out. And to try to make a deadline, and they basically burned the midnight oil in order to get all the bugs out after, you know, it went gold and started manufacturing. So
yeah,
so that's not good.
Check out this one: fixed an issue where controls would become unresponsive under certain conditions, improved single player stability, and fixed progression stoppers. So basically, they're saying if you play the game without the patch, you're going to hit a point where it's going to stop and won't let you progress. That's
right.
Just a single player. It's unbelievable. It's really crazy.
Yeah, and I heard from my press contact at EA that they basically have no copies to give out. Like they have very few that they're giving out to the press, because I requested one, and they basically, in between all the crap that they always send, they basically said, yeah, look, we won't have one until we can give you a retail copy, because, yeah, and especially with that patch, it seems pretty clear that the game wasn't really finished when they were, and they didn't want to do it, obviously, because they've got Call of Duty coming out next month, so, yeah.
And it must be a good... If I can, I'd like to tell you guys a little quick story about my experience trying to get Medal of Honor. It will only take about a minute or two. I got an email, I think it was like last Friday, that said, you know, for Battlefield 3 premium members, which I happened to become one about a month ago, exclusive deal, 50% off the PC version of Medal of Honor Warfighter. So, you know, I think I've told you guys I've been interested in playing it all along. I wasn't sure if I was getting it on the console or PC. But once I saw that, why wouldn't I do it? You know, 50% off a brand new game. So great. I had to go to this website, enter my Battlefield 3 premium account, blah, blah, blah. And boom, I got this. I got a code for 50% off. So I go to Origin, fire it up. At the time, I didn't know that there was actually an Origin website that you could purchase from. I thought you could only do it in app. So I was in the Origin app. I added it to my cart, applied the code. Boom, 50% off, $29.99. I'm really psyched. I go to check out, and when I first enter my credit card and hit continue, my credit card just disappeared, and it was asking me for my payment information all over again. So I see PayPal's one of the options, so I click on PayPal. I click continue. It then brings me to this like really bland, generic-looking screen that basically instructs me, if you click continue, this will open the PayPal site. Please leave this open. If you close it, blah, blah, blah. I've seen some you know, similar ways of how PayPal was handled. So I changed my mind, and I decided I should be able to enter my credit card. I went back. It was out of my cart at that point. So go ahead, re-add it to my cart, go to hit the code. Invalid code has already been used. Now, keep in mind, I never even opened PayPal. I never even clicked continue. I'm still waiting for EA support to get back to me. I'm now on day 4. I actually did talk to someone that night right through Origin. They had like a live chat, and I told him what I just told you guys, and he said, "Oh, no problem. I'll get you a new code." So he gives me this code that looks nothing like the original code that I had, and I said, "Okay, if you don't mind, I want to keep you on while I enter the code." Sure enough, the code says invalid too. So I write him back right away. Code says it's not working. Oh, sorry, this needs to be escalated to someone above me. And that was the last I heard, and I've literally contacted them like 5 times now just saying, hey, is anyone going to respond to this? What's going on? So now that I hear about this whole patch and there's no reviews on day 1, I'm kind of thinking that maybe this all worked out for the better.
Probably a good idea. I'm sorry you had so much trouble, Larry. That sounds really horrible. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so, I mean, it could have been worse. It could have been that the PayPal. I'm actually leaving out one part of the story. I did get one response. There wasn't anything actually said to me. It was just a forwarded. It was a email that showed that my order was canceled through PayPal, even though it never actually went through. And if you check my order history, I guess whoever saw it thought, oh, well, if I cancel this order, I guess the code will be active again, which kind of makes sense, I guess. But that never worked. So, yeah, you know, it's not the end of the world, and it's just a video game at the end of the day, but it was pretty frustrating. I mean, I probably spent about an hour that night trying to get a new code and just waiting for chat support, and so it's kind of ridiculous. I hope that they contact me at some point and just resolve it, but I don't know if I'll ever use Origin again. Like I said, at the time, though, I didn't know that there was an Origin website, so I will use the website from now on.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, that sounds horrible. I'm really sorry, Larry.
Thanks.
And like you said, it sounds like I just, you know, it may be a great game after the day 1 patch. I don't know, but I have my doubts.
I'm going to all the major websites.
Yeah.
And I can't find a single review.
And this is the game that I was not looking forward to at all. And you were like, oh, this is going to be an awesome game.
Yeah.
I think I remember you saying that. So
yeah, no, I've said this entire time. I thought it was going to surprise people, blah, blah, blah. And now I'm starting to, I think I might be eating my words very soon.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. I that's the way I felt. I felt that it wasn't going to be a very good game, So, and like I said, we haven't seen reviews yet, so I can't really comment, but if they're pushing out a day 1 patch that's so extensive that they can't even allow people, not even giving out review units to the media, then that's not a good sign. So yay for EA. So on the other hand, I'm still looking forward to playing Need for Speed Most Wanted when it comes out next week.
I should get onto the review copy of that. But yeah, speaking of other reviews, they're sending out a Halo 4 review copies at the moment. I think I should be getting mine today. But
awesome.
The embargo, whoa, it blocks pretty much everything from being said. Like, I basically can't say anything about anything. Like,
really?
I can't. It says the embargo ends on November 1, so that's when you see reviews come out. But it says no direct feed and capture of the campaign, so that means you'll not see any video reviews with campaign footage. You're allowed basically limited footage of the multiplayer modes. And it says, and there's this huge list of stuff from the campaign, which I'm obviously not going to say, that I'm prevented from talking about. It's basically every single plot detail in the entire game. So I'm not really sure what I'm supposed to say about this game, other than like graphics and sound, because they're blocking everything.
Well, I mean, can you post videos up after the embargo is done? I mean, is that the plan?
It's not clear that you can post screenshots and stuff after the embargo, and you're allowed walkthrough strategies after the release, but it's not particularly clear. It just says in big bold, direct feed capture and live streaming of campaign missions, blah blah blah, is not permitted, and that's like in red and underlined and bold. So I'm not sure. Maybe you're not allowed it at all with your reviews, but. Jeez, it's the toughest bug I've ever seen for a game.
Well, I would think they couldn't stop you from posting up video after the embargo is over with. I mean, that's kind of silly, you know, because people are going to be buying the game and putting up their videos, and you know, and Microsoft even says, yeah, we don't mind you posting up videos of our stuff as long as you don't make money from it, basically, you know.
I assume it's okay after the game's released. What I'm taking this to mean is that I'm not allowed to post up videos in between the embargo date of November 1 and the actual release, which is a couple of days later. So
okay.
That's what I'm taking it to mean, but I probably won't. I'll just be on the safe side. And also, of course, there's a whole bunch of stuff relating to getting my account unbanned, and just in case they decide.
Oh, gosh.
So obviously they are very serious about the people playing the leaked copies. Do not.
Yes, yes.
You will almost certainly get banned, because I have to send my gamertag to Microsoft and all this sort of stuff to make sure that I'm not banned playing a review copy. So,
oh, goodness. Yeah, that's probably a good idea. So,
but as I've said before, I'm not a huge Halo fan, so this will be an interesting review from me, because I've never really liked the series. So let's see if this is in any of the previous games.
Well, I mean, this is not being developed by Bungie, for one. This is the first Halo game, the first Halo first-person shooter game that's not being developed by Bungie. It's been developed by the new 343 Industries team at Microsoft. So we'll see. Maybe they've got a new take on it that'll please you.
Yeah. So, yeah. No, I got to say, just based on what I've seen, it actually looks like it might be the best Halo yet. And I'm with you. I think I've shared this with you, Tim. I've always thought they were decent games, and they, you know, actually, Halo 1 was really good. I have fond memories of it, but I've never bought into the hype that it's one of the best FPSs and all that. So,
yeah. I understand the appeal, but it's not for me.
Based on what I've seen, though, it looks kind of good. I gotta say, like, at least visually they have it nailed down. But I saw some scene with some creature that kind of looked like predator-ish, and it looked like a pretty cool little scene, and that just kind of gave me some faith. It didn't look like anything I've seen in any previous Halo games, I'll put it that way. So yeah. I do think this is going to be a relaunch almost. So I'm kind of, but just like I was looking forward to Medal of Honor, so yeah. Maybe I'm not looking forward to it. Never mind.
Yeah.
At least this game is clearly ready a long time before the release, with the whole last week, and still weeks to go before the actual game launch.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, Microsoft, you know,
I think Microsoft tries to. I think Microsoft knows that they have to get this game ready to go and not screw things up.
Yeah.
This is their. This is possibly the biggest franchise on the Xbox. You know,
it's
without a doubt the biggest first party. You know, this is their flagship title. So, yeah, all the eggs are in the basket for this one. So, I assume it's going to be pretty damn good.
Yeah. So let's quickly talk about some games coming out next week. Halo 4 isn't actually coming out for a little while yet, but next week, as I mentioned, Need for Speed Most Wanted from EA and Criterion Games. Despite Larry's poor dealings with EA and the Medal of Honor game, Criterion, usually makes pretty freaking good games, and this one looks pretty freaking awesome. And they're promoting it a lot on television too, with this kind of a live action trailer. It's actually pretty fun. But the game itself looks like it's going to be massive in terms of content. In case you guys haven't played previous games, the Criterion, of course, is best known for their Burnout games. And they took over the Need for Speed franchise with Need for Speed Hot Pursuit, which was an open world game. This is basically an open world game too, but it's more of an urban game, whereas Hot Pursuit was more out in the country. And it'll have some of the things that have, because you'll be able to drive any car that you see on the street. I think there's probably some cars that you still have to unlock. But for the most part, any car that you see, you can drive on the street. There's extensive multiplayer, modes planned, and it just looks pretty awesome. So I'm really looking forward to spending a lot of time with it. So
I will be getting it. Yep.
Yep.
So will I, hopefully.
Yep, and Assassin's Creed 3, this is Ubisoft's, with the possible exception of the Just Dance series, this is Ubisoft's biggest franchise, and they're also going all out with the big publicity campaign here in the States, lots of TV commercials and things like that. Of course, it's set in the American Revolution period, sort of, although it'll probably still have that sci-fi aspect to it, and the visuals at least look very good. I've never really warmed to the Assassin's Creed series personally, but at least it looks like it's going to be a great looking game. So
yeah, I mean, I've kind of always liked the Assassin's Creed games, but I've made a conscious decision. I'm going to pass on this as far as checking it out on the release. One, Assassin's Creed games, you need a lot, at least me personally, you need a lot of time to be able to devote to it. And just, being older and having other stuff to do, my time is limited as it is. And with all the other games already coming out that I want to play, I'm just not going to have any time for it. So
sure.
I've kind of made a conscious decision that I'll probably, skip it till, early next year when that whole... And first beginning of the year, doldrum comes and there's really nothing out. So, yeah, I'll probably check it out then. But I gotta say, it looks pretty badass. And with that, all that said, I still might check out the Vita version. We'll see.
Yeah, the Vita version is pretty cool. Yeah, Sony's got some. Not only does Sony have an exclusive Vita version of the game, but the PS3 will actually have extra levels that won't be in the Xbox 360 or the PC version, supposedly, as well, which is interesting. So,
yep.
And of course, they're selling a bundle, Assassin's Creed bundle, with the new even smaller PS3 with the game itself, which is kind of cool. And I guess the only other game that's actually coming out next week that's interesting is Lego Lord of the Rings, yet another Lego game based on a major multimedia franchise. Certainly the folks at Traveler's Tales have done an excellent job with games like the Star Wars and Harry Potter and the Batman games, and so this is, if you have kids or if you just like fun games, this is probably going to be one for you to pick up, and especially since if you've played any of the other previous Lego games. So
yeah, I just wonder what new stuff they can add to it. That's all.
Well, I would think that they have a lot of leeway. I mean, Lord of the Rings is certainly much different than Star Wars or Harry Potter in terms of content and things like that. So I would think they would have, some leeway in terms of coming up with something new.
I guess there's a point.
So, And I guess that's all talk about today. Again, I've got to get ready to go to freaking New York City. So Check out NeoWin for the next 3 days. We're going to have a bunch of Windows 8 and Surface coverage, not just from me, from other folks too. I think our review is actually going up later this, probably tomorrow sometime. So keep your eye out on that. And like I said, next week I will be talking to you guys from the Build 2012 conference. So that'll be interesting. Maybe we can get some extra special guests maybe to talk to us perhaps during the show. Maybe we can swing that.
Yeah, hopefully.
Maybe. So, so anything else you guys want to bring up before we say goodnight?
I think I'm all done.
Okay, great. And Larry, anything on your mind?
No, not really. No.
All right. Well, I guess that's it. Hopefully, Larry will get his Medal of Honor Warfighter stuff straightened out between now and our next podcast.
Now I don't even want to. So take that, EA.
All right. All right. So point taken. So anyway, thank you guys for listening to us, and thanks again to Tim for handling both the live streaming and also the recording of our podcast, as always.
No worries.
And thank you again, Larry, for joining us. And next week, we will be talking. Like I said, I'll be in Seattle, and Tim and Larry will be at their respective locations as usual. So,
yep,
but until then,
house.
Yep,
New Jersey, until,
New Jersey. And until then, we will hope you guys have some time to play some games, and we will talk to you guys next week. Until then, see you later. Bye-bye.
Catch you later.
Goodbye. Bye-bye.